Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:19 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 2nd. Well, we saw a pretty strong day on stock markets in here today. Being led higher by the NASDAQ, it was up again and retraced an earlier decline to finish right on the high of the day, which is where it had originally opened. We did see a little bit of profit taking in some of the best performers yesterday, like Zoom Media or Tesla or Apple. But then we also had some of the semiconductor companies doing particularly well. And this is the biggest upward dynamic we've seen since the original breakout back at the middle of June. It's really been a spectacular advance. The index is up almost 100% since the low in March. So this is a really quite impressive overall performance. We've got clear leadership from the semiconductor sector. They're clearly benefiting from the low interest rate environment, the move to work remotely, which is boosting demand for all sorts of electronic devices. It's also one of the primary reasons why we've had such a very impressive rebound in some of the home goods companies. Lowe's, for example, has also rallied really very impressively because of demand for building materials and also for people that are retrofitting homes to look more like offices. And that share is also continuing to push higher. One thing, though, is that lumber prices were limit down today. So we are definitely now seeing a peak of at least near-term, potentially medium-term significance. We have a lower high and a lower low, and there is the real potential that this extraordinary advance seen in lumber has reached its peak, and that now there is the clear scope that it is going to unwind all of the advance. It's not like the world is going to run out of trees. And with prices at levels that were unimaginable at the beginning of this year, then there is a clear incentive to bring a great deal of supply to market. One thing that I think is really worth considering is that oil prices were down in here today by about a dollar, and confirming resistance in the region of the trend mean. Now, it has been something like up one day, down the next. So I don't think we've quite got enough evidence to suggest that this is anything other than a pause in the region of this $40 area. I do think that $40, though, is a bit of a Rubicon for the oil price. There was news today that Kuwait, one of the biggest producers and with some of the biggest reserves in OPEC, is running out of money and telling people that they don't have enough cash to pay state wages in October. So that's really quite a profound statement. What it also helps to highlight is that $40 just does not cut it when it comes to the financial commitments of a large number of countries. So there is the real potential that we're going to see a great deal of supply taken out of the market. But from the perspective of a stock market investor, or indeed for bonds, it's worth considering that the price of oil peaked in January, and it really declined in March. So by the time we get around to April of next year, if the oil price is still around $40, then we're likely to start to see inflationary pressures mounting. Oil prices are still only about halfway back to where they were at the beginning of the year. So we may be in a position where there is a deflationary or an inflationary outcome. And of course, that is going to have a significant bearing on the outlook for bonds. Well, 10-year Treasury yields were in negative territory again in here today, so pulling back from the 75 basis point level. This has been not an especially impressive rebound in the bond markets, or at least certainly in terms of the yield. There is some speculation about exactly what our risk parity strategies doing. Well, based upon the activity we've seen over the last while, bond prices are rallying at exactly the same time that equity prices are rallying. And The S&P 500 was up in robust territory in here today and pushing on to extend its breakout to new all-time highs. So this is, again, a really impressive advance. The 200-day moving average is still around the 3,100 level. The index has ample scope in which to consolidate, but there is the possibility now that instead of 3,000 being the next area of potential support, that it may be the region of the previous peak, which is around 3,380. This is a very significant advance, which is predicated on the fact that we have got extraordinarily low interest rates, that people are looking to capture those interest rates. I had a tennis lesson today, and my tennis coach was asking me about how low do I think interest rates are going to go, and what kind of refinance rate he might be able to get on his mortgage. Then I've also seen valuations, people coming around to value houses so that people can refinance. There is obviously a queue of people looking to refinance, capture low interest rates, and that represents a very significant flood of liquidity into the market. So we are in the sweet spot where there is potential for recovery. So, for example, when we think about the airlines sector, they have been able to capture vast sums of money in terms of funding a recovery. At the same time, they are shedding tens of thousands of employees, and there's the potential, at least, that we're going to see additional upside. One thing that I think is worth considering, that there's debate about how people interpret the data that the CDC is providing, but it couldn't be simpler. They have listed on their website that there are 164,000 people, or 161 or 4, I can't remember exactly which, people who've died from COVID-19. And if you just simply add up the numbers of people based upon age groups, the vast majority are older than 55 years, then there is a tiny percentage. We're talking about 12 in 10,000 that have died and that are less than the age of 30. So this whole rationale for keeping the entire economy locked down makes absolutely no sense. If we're in fact dealing with the science, then the greatest effort should be to try and isolate people who have got pre-existing conditions and who are older than 55 years. Whether if that means giving people early retirement, then so be it. It would at least give a lot of the younger people who are out in the street protesting something to do. It would give them responsibility and an income stream and a path to a middle-class lifestyle. These are the kinds of things that could easily be achieved without having to spend trillions on massive assistance to the economy. But unfortunately, the vast majority of politicians were slow to react to the emerging data back in February. Now they are even slower to change their minds. And then, of course, you've got the potential for litigation. Most people, most businesses are more afraid of being sued than they are of whether they make the right decision about opening or not. So these are all very significant factors. But the reality is that younger people are comparatively unaffected by the coronavirus. And that is quite potential. That is, I think, a potential bullish factor because we are still in a very liquid environment. And it's quite likely that interest rates aren't going to rise anytime soon. And then we also have the potential for economic recovery. Of course, with the quantity of liquidity that's sitting in the market, then that will help to stoke economic activity and velocity of money and therefore inflationary pressures, but perhaps not right away. So the stock market continues to advance. And with these steep advances, a clear downward dynamic from a very wide overbought condition would be required to check the advance and signal a process of mean reversion. And then when we think about some of the other indices around the world, well, the FTSE was negative yesterday, but then it rebounded in here today. When we look at the constituents and the best performers on the day, well, then it was some of the property builders and then Rolls-Royce. Rolls-Royce was up 5.25%, but unlike, for example, Barratt Developments, then one, I think another additional point is that this surge in demand for refinancing has also contributed to new all-time highs for property in the UK. And that is as much about low interest rates as it is about the lack of additional supply. So there is the clear potential that we're going to see a further polarization between the beneficiaries and the losers from the lockdown process. People want jobs and they want homes to be affordable. So it's likely we're going to see a lot more building over the coming years. That's likely to be beneficial to the home building sector. That's also, of course, one of the reasons why the lumber price had rallied at the from March until quite recently. But then you have industrial companies which have been pummeled as a result of the lockdowns. And there is the potential that we have got type 2 base formation characteristics evolving. Obviously, the size of the pullback in Rolls-Royce yesterday has not been countermanded by the 5% advance today, but there is the scope for additional upside in a recovery scenario if we do see that Boeing, in particular, can get the 737 MAX certified. Certainly, Boeing looks better than a number of the other industrial companies. It has rebounded, and so far, it has held a sequence of higher reaction lows. Of course, it's a candidate for lengthy ranging, and it has got an awful lot of work to do to try and reinstill confidence in the investor class overall. It was a generally benign environment for European stocks in here today, and the Euro Stoxx index has bounced from the region of the trend mean. Then, when we think about Australia, it has not quite been able to push above the trend mean, but it rebounded in pretty impressive fashion in here today. It's got another higher reaction low, and there is the clear potential that it is going to push on to new recovery highs in the not so distant future. The Chinese market was pretty much very quiet in here today. Then we obviously have a lot of speculation about what's going to happen next in Japan. The Nikkei was in positive territory as well. So the reality here is that it is the technology sector, and most particularly the FANGs and the semiconductors, are leading on the upside. Anything to do with remote working continues to do well. Then everything else is playing catch up. But what we have seen in here today was that gold prices pulled back rather sharply. We have a sequence of lower rally highs since the beginning of August, and the $1,900 area has continued to hold. One thing that we've seen in the past with gold is that it is prone to short, sharp pullbacks, particularly after an inert period of ranging. And those short, sharp pullbacks can often unwind the overbought condition relative to the trend mean in a very swift manner, and they don't last all that long. And the most recent example of that was in March, where we had seen the breakout, and then we had seen some pause around the $1,600 area, and it lasted for about 4 weeks. And then we saw a significant pullback down into the $1,450 area, which lasted for just a couple of days, and then it popped straight back on the upside. So I've been bidding for gold and at significantly lower levels than where prices are right now, for the simple reason that it's not at all beyond the bounds possibility that we do get some uptick in volatility. And as confidence in the stock market improves, then demand for alternatives will ebb. So there is the clear potential that we are at that potential for a at least a somewhat deeper pullback in the precious metals. The TIPS yield was in positive territory today, but one thing I think is interesting is that the correlation that we have, or at least it's an inverse correlation between the compression in TIPS yields and the advance in gold, it does suggest that there is the potential that we're going to get some additional ranging here, because the compression in TIPS yields has at least paused, and it is really very overbought in the short term. Silver prices were also in negative territory in here today and down over a dollar, but not quite all the way on the low of the day. Platinum prices have yet to be able to sustain a move above the $1,000 area and have pulled right back to the 900 level, which is around the region of the trend mean. I think that platinum is still the weaker of all of the precious metal price complexes. It could potentially hold the $900 area, but we really do need to see it sustain a move above 1,000 in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, gold shares were also in negative territory for most of the day and were able to just eke out a positive return overall. They've admirably been able to hold the range over the course of the last month, but again, I don't think that this is completely out of the woods just yet. So, I do think if when we look at precious metals, they are prone to volatility. When they have had these ranges, then it is setting up for the next significant move. And as investors increasingly look at the really quite impressive advance that we're seeing on Wall Street, that it is likely to suck investor interest into it. Obviously, we have inflationary pressures out in on the horizon that you simply cannot add the quantity of liquidity into the global market that has already been done and then see economic activity improve without seeing some of that liquidity slosh around and create inflation. That's a good reason for thinking about gold, but also there's the fact that it's only just broken out. So we have certainly got short-term risk of consolidation, but medium-term risks are likely to be on the upside. When we then think about the currency markets, the dollar was in positive territory in here today, and it has now posted another failed downside break from this range. There's been a loss of downward momentum over the last month. Certainly, there is scope for an unwinding of the short-term oversold condition, and part of the reason for that is because of the strength of Wall Street, and that is likely to suck investors in from around the world. When you've got performance at your back, then that is, I think, a significant factor. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.